Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope what I'm about to share with you is a blessing to you and your loved ones. This week's broadcast is going to be all about Easter, and so I'm going to have to start a little bit early to try to get as much in as I possibly can. I won't have time to address your emails this week. However, next week I should be able to. So keep them coming, and thank you for them as well. This week, I hope to make those listening aware of the importance of this time of year. Not for its Christian significance, because I'm going to illustrate quite graphically to the fact that there is none. It's the pagan significance most Christians are in need of discovering regarding Easter. Easter is the most notable ecumenical holiday known to man. This is why it will be so easy for Rome to take over the Protestant churches of today. It was child's play back in June of 2000 when the Vatican was proclaimed the global moral authority and the leader of the United Religions, or One World Church. Had this attempt been made a mere 100 years prior, no one would have allowed it in any way, shape, or form. But thanks to all the stealthy infiltration of Roman Catholicism into every Protestant faith, including the once protesting SDA Church, Mother Rome has everyone where she needs them. All churches are doing as she invented now, and this will allow her easy access. You know, Sunday keeping, Christmas, spurious doctrine, strange, twisted prophecies, and yes, even Easter has been embraced by all denominations, including those that at one time were very vocal preachers exposing Rome and openly against Easter. They have no method of defense anymore but to welcome Rome with open arms. So, let's take Easter. Let's take a look at this. In this time of year, all too often we accept traditions merely because they are so old, or because they have Christian names placed upon them, or the names appear Christian. Problem is, Easter never was, nor will it ever be, a Christian holiday. It was invented in Babylon and remains there to this day. The strange thing is, many people know this as fact and ignore it anyway. It's like the pagan time of year all call Christmas, a graphically pagan holy day, if ever there was one. This is regardless of the fact that all know Jesus was not born in winter, and they all know that Christmas trees have absolutely nothing to do with Christmas. In fact, their own Bibles speak out against those that cut trees from the forest to set them in their homes adorned with jewels. They also know that telling their children about Santa Claus is a bold-faced lie, yet people do it for the sake of tradition. Somehow tradition has become a way to allow for lies to be okayed, as well as pagan worship in this country. It openly allows for the mixture of truth with lies to become acceptable Christian tradition. Yet, it is written, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." 1 Corinthians 18, verse 21, of course. Easter is no different than Christmas, folks. In fact, it's worse in many ways. It actually affords us the opportunity to expose it with childlike ease. Still, many call it a holy day and clamor to the churches to celebrate that which was solely invented by Satan to pay homage to him and him alone. Putting Jesus into the mix doesn't make it any more holy or acceptable to God than placing Christian lyrics to a satanic rock beat and calling it gospel music. It's an open and shameful mockery of the Lord, just as graphically as it was for that certain damsel that walked behind Paul in Acts chapter 16. Paul knew she was mocking the Lord by proclaiming Christianity her religion, while at the same time embracing a satanic lifestyle, so he cast the demon out of her. I would like to ask the Christian that sees no wrong in celebrating this pagan festival of rebirth named Easter a question or two. And please accept this in the spirit it's given. I'm not ridiculing, I'm just asking. How can you see no wrong in mixing Satanism with Christianity, or paganism with Christianity? Well, it's more or less the same thing. How can you do this and still call it a day of worship for the Creator God when he clearly states to have no union with things of this world, especially those things designed by devil worshippers. How can you tell your children about an Easter bunny that first and still symbolizes sexual prowess to the pagan sun worshipper of today? How can you claim the egg that this bunny supposedly lays represents Christ or some aspect of his resurrection, when it is well known among the neo-pagans of today, as well as the past, to first have been used to represent fertility in their satanic rituals? Dear and beloved Mr. and Mrs. Christian, how can you allow your own children to take part in the sexual games played by the pagans of old and now renamed Spring Break by the many young people during the pagan festival of Easter week? The devil doesn't care what you call this ritual. He just has to have those sexual games happen. He doesn't care if you tag it to Christian Day, as long as you do as he wants on that day or during that week. Christian teens flock to the warmer climates this time of year from all over the world just for that very purpose. Are you aware of what they do once they get there? If not, I suggest you ask anyone that has watched MTV during this time of year. This sinful and graphically satanic broadcast reveals, it shows everything. I mean, it revels in making all aware of the sexual decadence that is encouraged on this day or this week. And then they videotape the whole thing. Of course they make sure they blur out the naughty bits, but the sin is openly displayed regardless. I mean, you're not blind. You know what you're looking at. They make it look acceptable, fun, and exciting. And for those that choose not to go that far, they ridicule and use the old favorite methods of peer pressure to get them to join in. The goody-two-shoes attacks have escalated to such a level today that it's an absolute miracle. Now, when teenagers choose otherwise, only true Christian young people can stand strong in such temptation as this. The amazing thing is, they actually videotape all of it for prime time television on MTV. And still, parents are unaware. In this radio broadcast, I would like to share numerous documented facts proving that every aspect of Easter is evil. Before sharing, understand this. If you're still unaware as to the true origin of Easter, try this simple test. Ask any Roman Catholic priest, or pagan priest, or witch, or even a warlock for that matter, how the date for Easter is calculated each year. They will all tell you the exact same thing, because they all celebrate it all, you know, the same way. It's like I said earlier, Satan doesn't care what you call it, as long as you do it. Sin is sin no matter how you dress it up. The fact here remains that the date of Easter is calculated by the first full moon of spring. When that date is realized, they then declare the following Sunday will be Easter. In Vatican documentation, as well as the Roman Catholic Catechism books, it is stated, under item 1170, it says that the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, all the churches agreed that Easter, the so-called Christian Passover, should be celebrated on the Sunday following the first full moon. You can get that from the Vatican website, the Catholic Encyclopedia, or the online Catechism of the Catholic Church. If this evil celebration had anything to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it would be on a fixed date each and every year, would it not? Yet every single year the date of Easter changes. How, I ask, can that represent the Lord's resurrection? Yeah, it's no different than saying I was born on January 1st, but every year I'm going to celebrate my birthday in a different, you know, in accordance with how the moon orbits the planet, or, I mean, you know, or whatever I want. I mean, therefore, my birthday would never be the same date from year to year. It sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? Yet people still think Easter commemorates the day Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You know, the true gift of Babylon is confusion. And sadly, Christians the world over are very happy to embrace this confusion as if it is some time-honored and acceptable practice that the Creator Himself approves of. Why do people grasp at the gray areas instead of looking upon the simple truth itself, I ask? I mean, it's so black and white for those that simply open their eyes to see it. This is why the Lord gave us Bibles. Easter is even mentioned in Old Testament as well as New Testament scripture as an evil time of year for the pagans. Well, be prepared. right now on this broadcast to see that which the children of the Lord have been blessed with seeing and proclaiming. And I pray that you are one that would choose to put away such evil activity as this and do whatsoever saith the Lord. I would like to share with you some facts your preachers, your pastors, priests, or ministers refuse to share with you regarding this time of the year. Most of what I am about to share with you are excerpts from documented sources regarding a multitude of topics for this time of year, for this Easter celebration. The name, Easter, for example, can be traced back to the name Astarte, the Syrian sun goddess. That's spelled A-S-T-A-R-T-E, known as the Queen of Heaven. Oh, by the way, the Queen of Heaven today is the Roman Catholic version of Mary. So, in essence, this day is all about her and not Jesus, because that's where it originated. It originated to glorify the Queen of Heaven. In fact, next week, if the Lord allows, I have an article that I was going to share this week, but I decided to go ahead and let's do something about Easter this week. But I have an article I'm going to share regarding a Protestant preacher, pastor, if you will, that has brought a statue of the Roman Catholic Mary into his church for Easter to show people how he is to be, or rather how she is to be, so much more honored. He's not doing so to expose Rome at all. People, don't get me wrong. He's not saying, look, this is what Rome does and it's wrong. No, he's actually embracing Rome on this one. Okay, so hopefully you'll be able to tune in next week for that one. So, but anyway, getting back to the name Easter. At the end of the winter, the season changes because the earth tilts, you know, it rotates around the axis. Spring arrives when the sun is over the equator. On the first day of spring, known as the vernal equinox, which means literally spring equals night, or spring equal night, both day and night are an equal 12 hours long. I'm getting this out of the book called Controlled by Calendar, page 42. So, you know, I always thought that the first day of summer was 12 hours on both ends. I didn't know that. I guess I'm learning something new today, too, or actually when I researched this. But anyway, they're stating in this book that both day and night are equal 12 hours. Well, perhaps it is in other areas of the world. I know in the United States of America, I don't think it is. But anyway, this means that the long winter nights were over. And the sun again began to take control. This time was marked by celebrations and festivals to thank the pagan gods. These ancient rituals were fertility festivals, or sex games, if you will, were observed in hopes that the gods would bless them with fertile flocks and fields. Animal and child sacrifices were offered to the gods to receive favor as well. So, stopping for a minute, they actually had these orgies, or whatever you want to call them, so as to have blessings in the fields as well as in, you know, in their livestock or whatever. Okay? All right, getting back. The Venerable Bede, or Bede, an 8th century Christian historian, indicated that the name Easter came from the festival of Ostare, which is O-E-S-T-R-E, also known as Ostare or Ostara, the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring and fertility. There was also a Teutonic or Germanic goddess known as Ealster, or Astarte or Esther. You know, who was the goddess of dawn and light, fertility and spring. It is from these deities where the name Easter actually originates. The festival in her honor was held during the vernal equinox. And again, that's out of the book called Controlled by the Calendar on page 42. All right, this next bit of information comes out of Francis X. Weiser's Handbook of Christian Feasts. Back in 1958. Page 211. He says this: the English word Easter and the German Ostern come from a common origin of Eoster, Oster, Ostara, or Ostar, which to the Norsemen meant the season of the rising or growing sun, the season of new birth. The word was used by our ancestors to designate the feast of new life in the spring. The same root is found in the name for the place where the sun rises, which is the east, or Ost. The word Easter then originally meant the celebration of the spring sun, which had its birth in the east and brought new life upon the earth. Now listen to this. This symbolism was transferred to the supernatural meaning of our Easter to the new life of the risen Christ, the eternal and uncreated light. Based on a passage in the writings of St. Bede, the Venerable, the term Easter has often been explained as the name of the Anglo-Saxon goddess Eoster. though no such goddess is known in the mythologies of the Germanic tribe. Modern research has made it quite clear that Saint Bede erroneously interpreted the name of the season as that of a goddess. Okay? There you have it. Now, the name Ostara, or also known as spring equinox, or Ostara, or Albine, Elhire, Esther, Eostre, or Ostoran, even Startag, Easter, Eostrain, or Estore. I mean, they all look the same. They're all spelled all these different ways, but they all more or less sound the same. This comes, by the way, this is out of The Witch's Voice, The Eight Pagan Holidays. I get this quote from. It says, the first day of springtide, the days and nights are now equal in length as the young god continues to mature and grow. We begin to see shoots of new growth and swelling buds on the trees. Energy is building as the days become warmer with promise. Okay, so what means the term Easter itself? Out of Alexander Hislop's book, The Two Babylons, on page 103, he says, it is not a Christian name. The Chaldean origin is on its very forehead. Easter is nothing else than Ostare, one of the titles of Belitus, the Queen of Heaven, whose name, as pronounced by the people of Nineveh, was evidently identical with that now in common use in this country. That name, as found by Layard of the Assyrian monuments, is Ishtar. Okay? This next quote comes from... This is more or less out of the 11th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica under the article Easter. The article states, this small excerpt says, that there is no indication of the observance of the Easter festival in the New Testament or in the writings of the Apostolic Church Fathers. The ecclesiastical historian Socrates is quoted in the same article as he points out that neither the Lord or his apostles enjoined the keeping of this day. He says the apostles had no thought of appointing festival days, but of promoting a life of blamelessness and piety. He attributes the observance of Easter by the church to the perpetuation of an old usage, just as many other customs have been established. Early church reformers such as Calvin and Knox protested strongly against Easter because of its pagan origins. Observance of this holiday was not widely accepted in America until well after the Civil War. And by the way, the only mention of the actual term Easter in the New Testament King James Bible is found in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. It proves it was a pagan ritual even then. Herod, a Roman, and being a Roman, a pagan worshiper, was planning on placing Peter before the people because he saw how killing James with the sword previously, pleased the Jews. Whatever his plans were for Peter was, who knows, but the fact is that Peter was in prison between four soldiers that night, but Herod waited until after the celebration of Easter to do his dirty work. However, we all know how the angels were sent by the Lord to get Peter out of that situation. So, anyway, Easter has long been known to be a pagan festival. All along. Truth is, even America's founders knew this so-called holy day was evil. A children's book about the holiday called Easter Parade, Welcome Sweet Springtime by Steve Englehart, on page 4, he states this. He goes, when the Puritans came to North America, they regarded the celebration of Easter and the celebration of Christmas with suspicion. They knew that pagans had celebrated the return of spring long before Christians celebrated Easter. For the first 200 years of European life in North America, only a few states, mostly in the South, paid much attention to Easter. Not until after the Civil War did Americans begin celebrating this holiday. Easter first became an American tradition in the 1870s, he says on page 5. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? The original 13 colonies of this nation actually began with the cry, "No king, but King Jesus," right? The people in this land of ours did not observe Easter for any reason for an entire century, after it was founded. Okay, now for the name Astaroth, or the Queen of Heaven, or Astarte, or just Easter, that word Easter. The worship was always associated with the worship of Baal or sun worship. Okay, now, but Astarte was actually Baal's wife. Notice, if you will, that another name for Astarte is Ashtaroth. The following quote makes this point clear. And it comes from Legatos, volume 2, page 179. And it's also in Lucian's book, De Dea Syria, on volume 3, page 382. It says, what means the term Easter itself? It is not a Christian name. It bears a Chaldean origin on its very forehead. Now, this sounds like this is probably where Hislop got it. Easter is also known as nothing else than Astarte, one of the title belts of Queen of Heaven. Now, the Assyrian goddess Astarte is identified as Semiramis by Athenagoras. Now, in Hislop's book, The Two Babylons, it says this on page 103 or page 307 or page 308. He goes, no name could ever picture forth the character of Semiramis as Queen of Babylon than the name Astaroth or Astarte, for that just means the woman that made towers. So this name is obviously the same as the Hebrew name Astaroth. Okay? Notice this conclusive quote from Microsoft's Encarta Multimedia Encyclopedia. It says, Ishtar was the great mother, the goddess of fertility, and the queen of heaven. So in actuality, Astaroth, or Ishtar, was Nimrod's harlotress, or harlot, or mother, wife, and widow. Semiramis, many other ancient historians attest, Easter is now established as none other than Ishtaroth of the Bible. Let's examine the scriptures for a moment here to see how God views the worship of this pagan goddess. It says in Judges chapter 2, verses 11 and 13, that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth, or Easter. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 to 4, put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Ashtaroth. A-S-H-T-A-R-O-T-H. Could that be where they get their Ash Wednesday? Because the word starts off with Ash. Okay? They put a plus sign on your forehead. That's Baal worship. But anyway, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. You notice when the Lord says serve him only, he doesn't say serve me and then mix your worship of me with other gods. He's saying serve him only. And then finishing up the passage, it says, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the God only, the Lord only. Now, it's like I said earlier, Satan doesn't care what you call it, just as long as you do it. Why? Because he knows the Lord knows you're in sin. Sin is all he seeks for you anyway. And strangely enough, he uses your own faith to get you to do it. Did not Jesus warn it would be wolves in sheep's clothing? All right, let's move on to the Easter eggs. The egg itself. I'm getting this out of Encyclopedia Britannica and as well as Babylon Mystery Religion. You can use that as a query if you want in the encyclopedia. It says, the egg, a sacred symbol of rebirth and fertility among the Babylonians, Druids, Egyptians, and other pagan cultures. Dyed eggs were used as sacred offerings during the pagan Easter season and were also used as symbols of the goddess Astarte, or Ishtar, in various cultures. During the rule of Caesar Augustus, Hyginus, an Egyptian who was the librarian at the Palatine Library in Rome, wrote, an egg of a wondrous sight is said to have fallen from heaven into the river Euphrates. The fishes rolled it to the bank, where the doves, having settled upon it and hatched it, out came Venus, who afterwards was called the Syrian goddess Astarte. Part of their worship to this goddess was the ritual involving the golden egg of Astarte. This was where we got the tradition of the Easter egg. Pope Gregory, this is back in 590 to 604 AD when he was around, he forbid the followers of the Catholic Church to eat eggs during Lent, so they became a treat on Easter. The people in Poland said that the Virgin Mary dyed eggs in various colors for Jesus to play with when he was a child. The Ukrainians incorporated blue dots in the design of their eggs, which they say represented the tears of Mary. They believe she took a basket of colored eggs to Pontius Pilate as a gift in hopes of convincing him to have mercy on Jesus. As she was making them, she began crying and the tears fell on the shells, making the dots. The Orthodox of Romania dyed their eggs red because they believed that Mary left a basket of eggs at the cross during the crucifixion to appease the soldiers so they would treat Jesus better. They were not accepted, and his blood dripped on them. in Russia, there is a tradition that Mary Magdalene gave an egg to the Roman emperor as a symbolic token of the resurrection of Jesus. And again, this is out of the book Controlled by the Calendar on page 45. I have a few other articles I'd like to, or excerpts I'd like to share with you regarding the Easter egg when we get back from the break. So, and plus we're going to go into the Easter bunnies and everything else, of course. So please stay tuned, because there's an awful lot of information that Christians today do not know about. And this is vital information for those of you that want to do that whatsoever the Lord says, not what man says. So please stay tuned. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.